I was fixated, no question about it, on the news conference yesterday. This has a lot of layers to it, but it's been a joint Canada-U.S. task force that seems to have solved, though they haven't caught everybody they believe to be involved, allegedly, the largest gold heist in Canadian history. So where do these things go from here? Nine people charged, six people arrested. Not a lot of the original, how would I put it, booty recovered. So that ends up being a big factor right there. $430,000 in cash recovered. It's a remarkable story, and it's a big reason why police have worked so hard on this for the last 12 months, almost to the day. The Chief of Peel Regional Police is joining us now. He is Nishan Duriappa. It's great to have you on, Chief. I appreciate the time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Really surreal day yesterday when, and obviously so much goes below the surface. You know what it's probably like. People are like, what's going on? Why aren't the police saying anything? Well, you really don't say anything until you've got, you can put a bow on the case and make some arrests, do you?
Yeah, it was a difficult thing to let it sit for a year in silence when there are so many inquiries about what's happening, but as you understand, it was all intended to preserve the integrity of the investigation, but we got so close to the one-year anniversary, it just made sense to just do it yesterday, for sure.
I know your deputy chief said this investigation isn't done, and that quote jumped out at me. Tell me what you're able to about what is still in process.
Yes, absolutely. So not only like are three of the nine people outstanding in terms of we're looking for them to have Canada-wide warrants and we're encouraging them to turn themselves in, but as you mentioned earlier, out of the 6,600 gold bars, you know, which is like almost 400 kilograms, all that was really recovered was 1 kilogram because we know they've smelted the gold. And the investigator's opinion is that they were sold for international commodities. And thus far, so the reason why it's not over yet is because there is a lot of dollars to trace from the nine individuals to see where cash came from, where it went, and perhaps to identify who profited from the gold.
There probably wasn't any other theory among investigators, detectives, and maybe even yourself, Chief, that this had to be some form of an inside job the second you heard about it. And then obviously evidence grew to prove that was the case.
Absolutely. You know, I think right from the start, everybody assumed it was the equivalent of an Ocean's 11, 12, 13, whatever you want to call it, film. And, you know, what we've identified is that absolutely there are one or two people from within, let's say, the system that exploited vulnerabilities and their knowledge of the system in order to facilitate it. So, you know, part of it clearly was individuals on the inside, but there is a significant amount of people in a coordinated fashion, organized crime related on the outside.
Some people are pretty surprised, but this speaks to the criminal element. I mean, you mentioned movies, and generally speaking, whether it's Goodfellas, whether it's something else, the Departed, the criminals go too far. They don't just say, well, that was a fantastic heist. We're going to sit on a beach and throw our money in bearer bonds and just hang out and play volleyball. There's always more. Like, it shocked a lot of people who aren't in your world, or even to some extent in mine, that these criminals would steal all this gold and then be running guns across the border. Like, for what, right?
I completely agree. And I think that is really the nature of organized crime. When you look at things like the theft of $20 million worth of gold, it went to finance other interests that had, you know, low risk, high reward. And clearly, you know, in this case, we saw the reciprocal importation of firearms as a result of the sale of the gold. You know, individuals we were looking for involved in the sale of the gold were arrested bringing, you know, over 60 firearms into Canada.
I've got my frustration about the cases, too. There's three people still at large. You have named them. Their ages are out there. Their photos were published by some media, but not others. And what I'd say is, if you're wanted on a Canada-wide arrest warrant, especially for a notorious case, shouldn't we all? Shouldn't every media source be publishing their names and their photos? Like that would be helpful. Does that frustrate you?
Greg, listen, the reason we go so public with so many details, including photos and where they're from and where they worked, is because we are imploring everybody to help us find them. And, you know, if it's sort of, you know, three of them, for example, were from Brampton, one is of no fixed address. These are the ones that are still wanted. And people know them and think it's just because they were involved with a sensational, you know, theft of gold. It's wrong, actually. What was actually happening was, you know, and even this is just what we know, 67, 66 firearms were coming back into Canada, most of them fully automatic weapons and machine guns that were destined for the streets. It actually compromises everybody's public safety. So, yeah, you know, and as for the media outlets, you know, that's their obviously their choice, but we didn't go this far to put their photos and names and where they worked and where they were from for no reason.
No. Frustrating that the six people arrested are out on bail. That doesn't feel like something you can control, and it speaks to a larger issue about our bail system right now that I know it's frustrating for every law enforcement officer, the rank and file on the streets who are working so hard, risking their lives and arresting the same people over and over again. Is this a case you're worried about? Are any of these six a flight risk?
First of all, I guess, you know, it is frustrating for our people to work 1 year and arrest these individuals. Unfortunately, we're confined by the way our systems are situated. But just, you know, for clarity, you know, the individual that was involved in this, arrested on the U.S. side, is still in custody.
Yeah.
Right. And mind you, that was for firearms offenses. But, you know, the potential sentence for that individual is up to 35 years, which, you know, I just juxtaposing the two environments to each other. We do know that this is where we operate. We do our best. Our officers are remarkable. They want to make sure they have a case that maximizes what our current existing system can actually ensure for sentencing, et cetera. But the fact that somebody does get released is not within our control. It's frustrating. You know, we've been out front of this in the last year or two from a policing standpoint for high-risk violent offenders. These ones look like they just were involved in a theft, right? Or possession of stolen property, which sounds a bit soft, right? But, you know, as I paint the story, you recognize this has got a more complex.
Yeah, it is. It is. Chief Nisha Nduriappa, our guest, Chief of Peel Regional Police. Last thing, and you can stretch this out if you like. We had Patrick Brown on the show a couple weeks ago, and he had just returned. He made a video while he was there from the Port of Montreal. And I think everybody listening to the show knows we have, I think the word epidemic is overused, but I do think we have a car theft epidemic in the GTA. And he went to Port of Montreal to see what's happening, because that's the hub of where all these vehicles leave Canada and are sold overseas. So I'm going to make the case. I think people in Toronto really like Patrick Brown's advocacy. And Chief, honestly, I'm not taking shots at anybody in Toronto or anywhere else. We like what you're both doing. What do you want to hear more from other police chiefs and other mayors to emphasize the importance of new scanners, more focus on this hub, and just more political alignment to slow this up and eventually get it down to a much more reasonable number?
The simple answer to this is advocacy from anybody that's got a platform and a voice is powerful. And, you know, right now, you know, Mayor Brown and our Mississauga counterparts, they hear it daily from their citizens. And it's exhausting to sound like nothing's being done. I have to say, on behalf of my chiefs, we're all lockstep in our advocacy. We've been to summits and painted the picture of what could be the solution. It is an ecosystem. It's not one person's responsibility to stop the organized auto theft rings that are happening. And clearly 80%, just for Greg, for everybody's understanding, is 80% of the stolen autos that are that we see are destined for exportation. The remainder are just for localized resale or fraudulent resale. So 80% are leaving. The simple thing in the whole ecosystem is to create a bottleneck.
Yeah.
There's no bottleneck at our ports. It's not the panacea for it. We're doing our best, but it's not just the policing responsibility. So I do appreciate the advocacy from elected officials, from chiefs, from our colleagues. You know, you got to shake the trees sometimes, right?
I hear it. Nish, thanks so much for the time today. I hope you'll come on more often. Appreciate your voice being on our show.
Absolutely, Greg. Thank you for the opportunity.
There's
all the best.
The chief of Peel Regional Police, Nishan Duriappa.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.